Hello, and thanks for joining Wicker Park Lutheran Church Sermons. Wicker Park Lutheran Church is a diverse ELCA Lutheran congregation in the Wicker Park neighborhood of Chicago. We gather at 10 a.m. to fully live into our incarnational faith as we experience God's presence in the gathered assembly, and we welcome you to join us. In just a moment, you'll first hear with a gospel reading from the associated sermon for the service that you're about to listen to. We hope that that gospel gives you some context before you jump right into the sermon. Thanks for checking us out, and we hope to see you soon.
This is the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, Lord.
So Pilate re-entered the praetorium and summoned Jesus, "Are you the king of the Judeans?" Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" And Pilate replied, "Am I Judean? It is your own people and the chief priests who hand you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom does not belong to this world. If my kingdom belonged to this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the temple authorities. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." And Pilate asked him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." Pilate asked him, "What is truth?" This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Thank you. There's a sticky note I didn't see. So Jesus told Peter when he pulled out his sword and cut off the ear of the high priest's slave, he told him to refrain from violence and to put away his sword. And after that, Jesus was paraded before the high priest to be questioned before being sent to Pilate, which we hear in our text. And in the meantime, Peter stood around a charcoal fire, keeping warm and denied knowing Jesus. We know the story three times. And now we get to today's reading, where Jesus stands alone before Pilate. So we have this exchange here between Jesus and Pilate that is iconic. And it's a traditional Hellenistic battle of the wits. So individuals use clever arguments, sharp retorts, and display of knowledge and rhetorical skills. And in the midst of this exchange, Jesus retorted, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the temple authorities. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." And oftentimes, this statement is interpreted as Jesus saying that his rule is otherworldly. And with that interpretation, there is the idea that if a conflict were to happen in Jesus' kingdom, wherever that kingdom is, then his followers would fight for him. However, since Jesus is not in his kingdom, then his followers are not fighting. Or in essence, Jesus is rejecting to participate in our world. However, Reverend Dr. David Luce says that if Jesus and his followers were of this world, then naturally they would use the primary tool that this world provides for establishing and keeping power, namely violence. But he continues and says, "Jesus, since Jesus is not of this world, Jesus will not defend himself through violence. Jesus will not establish his claims by violence. Jesus will not usher in God's kingdom by violence. Jesus will make no followers by violence. For Jesus' kingdom is present and is active in our world, but does not operate like this world. And this violent world we live in often leads us down this rabbit hole of fear, a And in today's reading, Pilate's response was of fear. And Pilate was arguably the most powerful person in Jerusalem at the time. And yet he was trapped by fear. The temple authorities wanted to crucify Jesus. And if Pilate didn't give them what they wanted, then would those temple authorities have used violence to remove him as well? So you see here, fear took over and led to the persecution and to the death of a man whom Pilate found no case against. That's what we hear in John chapter 18. Fear led Pilate to search for a loophole to politically save himself when he offered up either Barabbas or Jesus to be released. And fear is what led to the flogging and the crucifixion of Jesus. And the Gospels remind us that fear and violence often become intertwined, right? Fear and violence often become intertwined. And yet, in John's Gospel, Jesus' reign is not one of violence and fear. Rather, Jesus comes to witness to truth, the truth that God is love. But because we have not seen God and have such a hard time imagining God, all too often our imaginations are dominated by our experience. So rather than imagining that God is love, we imagine God to be violent because we live in a world of violence. Rather than recognize the cross as a symbol of empire's attempt to control, we assume it is a legalistic mechanism of punishing Jesus in our stead because we have too much experience with punitive relationship. Rather than believe that God's grace and acceptance are unconditional, we assume that God offers love, power, and status only on the condition that we fear, obey, and praise God. And then despise those who don't, because so much of our life is this quid pro quo. But Jesus is not of this world, so he will not bring about God's kingdom by violence. For that would violate the very principle of God's kingdom and cause its destruction. So you see here in John's Gospel, Jesus refuses to engage in fear. And Jesus proves his reign is beyond the fear and violence of this world. And this is a hard pill to swallow for us in a world that is shocked, angered, mourning, and fearful. I mean, really, is nonviolence truly a way? And how can we be calm at a time like this? Jesus didn't have Russian missiles, a regime change at the White House, and individuals looking to control your body or who you love. This world is a scary place. But these days, it doesn't seem to be any way to survive without using violence. The world has tricked us into believing that when someone punches, you punch back and you knock them to the ground. And that is a very human response. That is why in the Hebrew Scriptures we hear an eye for an eye, so as to limit our desire to seek revenge and do even more damage. That is because the law of Moses was meant to promote justice and limit revenge, specifically in the legal system. And yet, Jesus reframes that by saying nonviolence, forgiveness, and love are what his kingdom is about. And that's hard. And we don't want to believe that's possible, and that's maybe because it's not something we're steeped in. But Harvard University political scientist Erica Chenoweth reviewed literature on civil resistance and on social movements from 1900 to 2006. And she discovered that peaceful resistance was twice as successful as violent conflict. Right? Peaceful resistance was twice as successful as violent conflict. And you can probably think of a handful of instances yourself, like Gandhi, Martin Luther King Jr., Rosa Parks, Nelson Mandela, Desmond Tutu, Susan B. Anthony, And the list goes on and on and on. And while these may not be as prevalent in our daily lives or in the media we consume, they are often more effective. So sure, fear and violence are in the world, but we take seriously the biblical call to treat the stranger with love, to welcome the refugee, and to be a reflection of God's love. And as we journey through this Advent season, we are reminded of what God's kingdom looks like. It's a reign that rejects violence and fear. And today we are strengthened through the sacraments of baptism and of communion to serve our neighbors. For in this place we are reminded of God's love, of God's presence, and an entirely achievable vision of a world without fear and violence. In this Advent season, this is our sure and certain hope. Amen.